Good morning, Leesville. This is January 24th, and this is a day the Lord has made. Let me call us to worship from our verse in Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let me lead us now in our affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, I want to talk to the kids right now, and you will remember last week I promised that we would be talking about the snake, and I decided just to title the sermon, Talking to a Snake. Of course, I've never tried to talk to a snake, have you? But all too often we listen to the devil. He doesn't usually speak to us through a snake, but he can speak through friends, through things we see on TV. Sometimes he just plants a thought in our mind, and we think it's our own thought. Anytime we have thoughts of suicide or suggestions to say or do mean things to other people, that's the devil at work. Now, I want to look in the sermon this morning about how the first human sinned. And as you get older, you'll gain experience in recognizing how the devil manipulates us. But for you kids, the Bible simply tells you to obey your parents. I realize there are exceptional circumstances in which a parent is unstable or may tell their kids to do something wrong, but that's not the case with your parents. They're trying to follow the Bible, even if they're not perfect, and you need to obey them. But sometimes you have thoughts that question whether or not they know what is best. Long before you were born, there was a TV series called Father Knows Best. Your parents probably remember that TV show. Certainly our Heavenly Father knows what's best because he knows everything. Our parents don't know everything, but that's why they pray. That's why they come to church with you. And that's why they almost always know what is best for you. And if they find out they're wrong, they can explain that. But you will be tempted to question them. And almost always that doubt is not from you, but it's planted in your mind from the devil. Now, once you decide that you want to do your thing instead of what your parents say, the devil will help you think of ways to avoid getting caught. And sometimes if you do one thing, then you have to tell a lie to cover up after that. One sin always leads to another. Now, I don't remember if you've ever seen this commercial for Lay's potato chips, but they used to have this slogan, "Bet you can't just eat one." I don't know if you like potato chips, but I like them. And certainly, I always eat more than one. I sometimes almost eat the whole bag. Well, let me just apply that. Bet you can't just eat one. Let me change that to bet you can't just sin once. Because one sin tends to lead to another. And eventually you're going to get caught. But then the devil, who has been so interested in your well-being and has helped you rationalize or make excuses for doing the wrong thing, when you get caught, he won't be there to help you. Of course, he never was any help, but all the time it seemed so exciting and so fulfilling and so clever. Hey, does it sound like I know quite a bit about how all this works? Well, as a matter of fact, we all do, because we've all been tripped up. But let me tell you from experience, it never works out like we thought it would. It's not as much fun as we thought it was going to be. And when we get caught, and when we realize we're wrong, and when our conscience tells us that we did the wrong thing, we have to ask Jesus to forgive us, and sometimes other people as well. Now, this morning in the sermon, I'm going to try to analyze the first time a person sinned. And just remember, some things have never changed. Sin never works. The devil is still a liar, so don't let him trip you up. Right now, I want to lead us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for bringing us through another week with all of its uncertainties. We thank you that we're doing as well as we are. Father, we want to remember those that have had struggles. And Father, I want to pray for Mary, that you'll continue to be with her. Lord, I want to pray for Carl's brother. And I thank you for a good report that Carl has shared this week, that he and his family are doing better. Lord, I want to pray for Marion, who came down with COVID on the 11th and has been struggling. And we want to pray, Lord, for Marilyn and for Chuck. Take care of them. And then Katie has a friend, Erica, who had a mini stroke, probably due to complications from COVID, and she'll follow up with her neurologist soon, but she's out of the hospital. And Lord, I just want to join and lead all of our church family in joining Katie to pray for Erica. Lord, there may be others that are struggling, and none of us know what we'll face this coming week. And so help us to face it with faith and with confidence that you are with us, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us, that you are a very present help in time of need. Father, give revival to our church. We want to see new people saved. We want to see people growing in the knowledge and service of you. Lord, we pray for our community. Thank you for the vaccines that are slowly trickling down, and for all of those who are waiting their turn. Lord, protect us until we get the vaccine and heal our land from COVID. Father, we also want to pray for our nation. In Psalm 11, the question is raised, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And Father, we watch helplessly as we see the very fabric of our nation being destroyed and our Constitution being broken. Lord, I pray that you will save us from those who think they have a better way, but it's not your way. And so, Lord, we pray that your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I pray that you will rule and overrule and help us through this time of transition. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Now let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. All right, let's turn in our Bibles now to Genesis, the third chapter. And as a starting point, I'm going to read verse 13. Genesis 3:13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And so I decided just to titled the sermon, Talking to a Snake. Now, we have an enemy, and here it was Satan who speaks through a snake. In Peter's writings, he compares the devil to a roaring lion. In Revelation, he's symbolized as a dragon. And in Revelation 12, verse 9, John identifies the dragon as the ancient serpent called the devil. There he's reaching clear back from the last book of the Bible, reaching clear back to the first book of the Bible, and reaching to Genesis chapter 3, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. In the Hebrew language, Satan means an adversary or an accuser. In the Greek language, diabolos means a slanderer or someone who falsely accuses. If you go to Taco Bell, Diablo sauce is hot and spicy, and it doesn't have anything to do with the devil, but that word comes from the Greek word from which we get devil. Now, Satan deceives Eve. She entices Adam. The whole world is led astray. And he will deceive you and me unless we learn how he works, unless we're on guard. And so the motive of our sermon this morning is to learn how not to get tripped up. And so in verse 1, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, Satan starts out by questioning God's word. And so he says to the woman, speaking through the snake, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Now, what God says must be our final authority. Everything must be checked against it. In the New Testament, in Acts chapter 11, there was a church in Berea that was commended because they examined the scriptures to see if what Paul said was true. Even though Paul was an apostle, even though he wrote about half of the New Testament, they didn't take him at face value. They checked him against the rest of scripture. And the passage there says they were noble. They were high-class Christians because they accepted the Bible as their final authority. Now, what about areas in which the Bible does not speak? Well, in such cases, we must simply not adopt a position contrary to the general teaching of Scripture. You may remember back Reformation Sunday, I preached on sola scriptura, the Latin phrase that means that the Scripture is to be our final authority. However, sola does not mean that the Bible is the only book we read. It means everything we encounter must be tested against the Scripture. For instance, if you're preparing to become a brain surgeon, you'll need to read something besides the Bible. You'll have to study some medical textbooks. Wesley himself claimed to be a man of one book, but he read and wrote many books. Some of you, in addition to Cindy, teach literature. And literature is really an expression of our creativity. And that is a part of being in the image and likeness of God. And so we don't advocate too much censorship so long as literature has any redeeming value. But when a book or a movie advocates as good what God says is evil, we should not be deceived by that. Our worldview must be consistent with Scripture. And here Satan undermines the authority, the final authority, the ultimate authority of God's Word. Well, notice next that legalism adds to the Word of God. And in verse 2, Eve replies back to the snake, "We may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. Well, if you'll compare what Eve reported with what God actually commanded in chapter 2, verse 16, I think there are two important changes. First of all, she omits God's statement that we can freely eat of any tree except one. And then she adds to God's prohibition that we're not even to touch the tree. God didn't say that. You see, God, in his decree, emphasized the breadth and the scope of our freedom. You're free to eat of every tree except one. But Eve fell into this legalistic mindset in which all she heard was the one prohibition. Well, let me just address this matter of boundaries. I don't want anything God does not want me to have. Now, sometimes I've been tempted, and that's what this whole study is about. But I've learned that anything that I want that God does not want me to have is not really beneficial. And this reflects on the very nature of God. Psalm 84, verse 11 says, "No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." God is not trying to keep us from having fun. God is not a killjoy. God is keeping us from things that are shiny and bright, but will actually hurt us. Now, notice next in verse 4 that Satan very brazenly contradicts God's word. And there in verse 4, he says, you will not surely die. Now, whenever we find something which contradicts Scripture, Scripture must be our final authority. And I've already taught that everything must be evaluated on the basis of Scripture, where and when Scripture teaches. Then Satan goes on in verse 5 and promises fulfillment if we will disobey God. And so he tells Eve, "You will become enlightened. You will become like God. You will know good and evil." You see, the irony is Adam and Eve were already created in the likeness of God. They were already like God. They had already experienced good, but now they are being enticed to open the door to evil. In the process, they lose innocence and they lose righteousness before God. Now, when we get to verse 6, we see the process of rationalization at work. And this is a very interesting psychological dynamic. If you want to watch someone rationalize, watch someone who is on a strict diet justify how just one small piece of chocolate cake won't hurt. It's very interesting how our mind can justify what our eyes have already chosen. And so Eve is blinded by her own desires at this point. She was blinded because Satan interjected doubt into her mind, and she embraced that doubt. And she's saying to herself, "I can't understand why God is so restrictive." And so doubt disables her from clear thinking. And she made a decision to override God's command based on her own desires. I know I've already talked to the kids, but let me just throw this in. Eve is not the last one to question authority. And often there's a little voice in the head of children saying, "I can't understand why my mother and father are so mean and so restrictive." Well, realize they're doing it for our good. But often we begin to say, "I don't see any harm in it. It looks fine to me." And yes, it does look good to us, but we're blinded by our own desires. And so we can't think clearly. Eve saw that the fruit was good for food. Now, was she being starved? She wasn't even on a diet. She was free to eat from any other tree. I'm not aware that there was anything anything unique about the quality of fruit on this particular tree, but forbidden fruit always looks better. The problem is it has a bitter aftertaste. And here's a little quip. Forbidden fruit will always get you in a jam. And so she was not being deprived of nourishment, but this fruit looked good for nourishment. And so she already made up her mind she wanted it. Secondly, the fruit had eye appeal. It looked good to her eye. This refers to this quality of having aesthetic value. We like things straight and neat and beautiful. But sometimes this self-expression can cross boundaries of safety, and then it leads to self-destruction. Thirdly, she saw that the fruit would give her wisdom. And the wisdom that she gained was actually when she thought she was breaking free from God's restraints, she was allowing herself to be bound by sinful desires. She gained that wisdom after the fact. The irony here is that in her attempt to rise above God's purpose for her, she fell beneath God's purpose for her. And so she opens this Pandora's box. She did gain knowledge, and the knowledge she gained is that she would have been better off not to have opened the box. Let me explain it like this. The knowledge of evil is like being told over and over and over again, don't put your hand in the fire. But the more we're told not to put our hand in the fire, the more we decide, in fact, that's the very thing we want to do. After we put our hand in the fire, then we gain the knowledge of evil. And we never knew how good it felt not to be burning up. And we never knew how badly it felt to be burned until we did the very thing we were forbidden to do. You see, I sometimes think we're like goldfish who demand that we have the right to live outside the fishbowl as an expression of our freedom. And of course, the question is, how long can we last? But sometimes we're like goldfish who demand our rights to be free from the fishbowl. Well, let's talk about the power of suggestion in verse 6. She persuades Adam to do the same thing. Be careful now about who you listen to. Sometimes the most powerful influence is what somebody at school says. Wouldn't it be fun to try this or do that? And we never even thought of it until that idea was planted in our mind. Be careful about whose influence you follow. Let me wrap it up and say, you may have seen these signs that a certain company is an equal opportunity employer. Well, if I can play on that, let me say sin is an equal opportunity destroyer. And every time we cross these boundaries and fall into sin, we experience the consequences. James in the New Testament describes it like this, and I'm reading from James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is dragged away and enticed by his own desire. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death. And so this is this whole process of the idea being planted in our mind until it grows to fruition. Let me just recap it. First of all, we're tempted to doubt God and His goodness. Then we begin to rationalize finding justification for what we want. Then we choose to violate God's commandment as we assert our freedom. But in the end, we find that we're really not free, but we have been bound, ensnared, entrapped by sinful habits. And then our conscience won't let up, but it begins to remind us and nag us that we've displeased God. And so, let me close by saying, don't engage in a conversation with the devil. Don't talk to a snake or the devil in whatever form he comes. Don't engage in all of this dialogue and rationalization and justification, but live by the Scripture. The Bible says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Let's be Bible Christians. Let's listen to what God says. And let's live by His Word. Heavenly Father, be with us this week. We will all find ourselves in times of temptation. And we usually don't have a warning that in 5 minutes we're going to enter into a temptation zone. We're distracted and all of a sudden we find that we're struggling. Help us to remember that sin never pays, that the devil is never right, and that it never is right to do the wrong thing. Help us to trust you, even when the alternative looks good and shiny and tasty and beautiful. Help us, Lord, to realize that you want us to have everything that's good, and help us to trust you when you tell us not to cross certain lines. Be with us this week and help us to be victorious Christians. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.